Hello and welcome to the EdTech with a Like Audience podcast. This podcast is brought to you by a Like Audience, the premier audience targeting company with high-performing mobile audience segments. Every month, we spotlight leading executives and marketers from industry-leading companies. My name is Duncan Craig. I've been a business and technology journalist in the APAC region for a decade and work in ad tech content and comms since 2013. We're aiming to speak to as many interesting people in the ad tech and digital marketing and advertising industry. And this week, we have a special guest all the way from Raleigh, North Carolina, Ellen Parker. Ellen is the founder and chief programmatic coach of her own programmatic training consulting business, Ellen Parker Consulting, and host of the Programmatic Digest podcast. We also have Elise Lau joining us from London. Elise is the chief strategy officer for a Like Audience. She leads the corporate strategy on company expansion and next generation pets, which is privacy enhancing technologies for a Like Audience. As a serial entrepreneur, Elise's passion in MarTech began with her very first startup in 2011. Today, she continues to contribute to the industry by sharing her knowledge and vision on ad tech. So, Ellen and Elise, welcome to episode 12 of the Ad Tech with a Like Audience podcast, and thanks for your time.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Thank you, Duncan.
Thanks, team. Okay, the first thing I have to ask, Ellen, I have to ask you about your origin story. How did you, even before you set up your own consulting training business, how did you start in the industry, please?
Isn't it a really interesting question to ask? But I think most of us in the industry can relate to my story. So when I graduated from college, was a social media intern, and then realized that I did not like social media as much as as I thought I did. And so the company that hired me as an intern also had a different division. One of them was a new sprint paper called Employment Guide. And so I was hired under the digital department of Employment Guide and move around a little bit. And so when Employment Guide was acquired by another investor, I was laid off a few months after. And of course, that happened to be maybe a year and a half to 2 years after college graduation. So I had a lot of loans. I was motivated. So from that part of my journey, I went ahead and found a job for an ad agency in Virginia Beach, Virginia, that hired me as their first programmatic trader. So I had no experience in programmatic before that. I had some marketing experience, but not that much because it was a new sprint, even though we were, you know, handling digital software was still different.
Right. So you were thrown right in.
Right. Yeah. I was. And honestly, I had applied to another job for that agency, but they called me back saying, like, you're not qualified for this one, but you would be really good with this one. So I was like, oh, great. And almost 10 years later, this is how the programmatic journey started for me. As a trader, moving to planning, moving to a director, and now owning an education business.
Right. So you were working in an agency, is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess a newspaper print, it would be considered a publisher. But again, I was a marketing analyst for Employment Guides, and that required, back in the days, which is, again, only 10 years ago, they would offer the digital space on Employment Guide as an added value. Now it's flipped over, right? Now you receive the actual print paper as an added value, and you receive the magazine, and you don't even know when you sign up for it, right? So I was responsible for helping just upload those banners into the website and just tracking analytics at that time, whatever analytics was.
Thank you. So when and why did you decide to move into training, coaching, consulting, educating? Mm-hmm. That part of the business?
So about 3 years ago, so summer 2019, I got to a point in my career where I wasn't challenged and fulfilled in what I did in a way that I needed to do. I know I had a bigger purpose and I know I had a vision. And also very, very candidly, I was just extremely drained and emotionally exhausted from being maybe the only person of color, the only person that had an accent, you know, originally from Senegal. My first language is French. And so it was very exhausting to have worked in environments for ad agency where I was one of the only one or one of the few. And so from that on, I told myself I was only going to freelance full time and God had another path for me. And I followed his guidance. And that's how I landed into consulting. And we offered activation because, again, my experience is programmatic activation and training other people. And so I turned this knowledge into a course that anyone, whether you have marketing experience or not, can invest in and learn. And at the end of the course, you're able to apply to a job like a programmatic buyer or anything in ad ops or account manager so that you have some fundamentals that are really much required nowadays.
Thank you. That's my next question. What do you focus on with your training and how do you help people get into the industry and become adept quickly, which is, industry wants?
That's the $1 million question right there, right? Thank you for asking it. I think I have a $1 million answer. So my program focused just on that, creating, building, and empowering the future programmatic ninjas, like I call them. So we did the course last year and we turned it into this live program that is like 6-7 weeks long. So the program teaches just that. We are going to programmatic fundamentals, the ecosystem, different type of placement, what are tactics, what are targeting capabilities in programmatic. And then we layer some DSP overview, some DSP assignments. So each of those programmatic ninja in training have at least the experience of working in a DSP, building a campaign, pulling a report, optimizing a report. They are taught how to be flexible in Excel. They are also introduced to things like brand viewability, brand suitability, and an introduction to strategy planning, introduction to reporting. It's basically anything that a programmatic trader would need to advance efficiently in their career, but also it's the key skill set that I found that most companies, whether you're in-house branding or whether you are an ad agency, those skill sets are in demand right now. Like everyone needs a trader that knows how to do one of these things I mentioned, right?
Interesting. Elise, how does this resonate with your role and the challenges that you face at a like audience?
I totally resonate with what Ellen just mentioned in regard to the skill sets to equip everyone in the programmatic, especially for the new generations who just onboard in this industry for the first few years. I've heard from different conferences in the US and in Europe that most of the talents nowadays do not equip with enough skills on operating in platforms like Google and Meta. So I don't think it is only these two platforms that require training, but we have a handful of platforms in a lot of key markets in the US and Europe and also in Asia. Of course, there are also trainings from the platform itself, but there is no one-size-fits-all solution. So it would be great if we have, you know, some consultants that is following the trend and update the teaching content to the candidates from time to time to make sure our skill sets are also refreshed at all times.
Interesting, isn't it? I mean, we have the same challenge in Australia with, let's call it the skills shortage, right across tech. And training is a huge issue. So I'm curious to know from both of you, actually, what are the characteristics of successful companies that onboard programmatic new talent effectively? What's the secret sauce to onboarding, do you think, Ellen?
So I'm going to stir the pot here, and I hope you won't receive hate mail for this, but I strongly believe that talent is available, but companies don't have a proper onboarding process, which I love this question that you're asking. How should we onboard this talent? I think that this next generation that's coming in. I'm talking as if I'm just a millennial, but the next generation, you know, just 5-10 years old, younger, are very, very clever in how they want to learn. And they'll also understand that they don't want to do all, they want to be masters and special, like they want to have specialties. Right. So with that knowing, companies need to understand that one, learning patterns are different, and that as much as we don't like processes, we need to standardize them. What I mean by that is that you have to understand that onboarding doesn't stop on day one. It continues up to 6 months for some of these employees, whether it is a junior or whether it is a senior. Of course, a senior level employee or member of Programmatic Ninja will not need as much hand-holding at first. But it's very essential that we don't assume and that we continue empowering them in a way that they know, I know you're expert, but let me make you even more expert, or let me teach you this other specialty, or let me give you a vision of growth in the company that is going to look like this in the next 2 years. And every time you have timeline and you have those milestone that you get to celebrate with them.
And interesting, so, right?
Yeah.
Got to ask you, Ellen, before I throw it at Elise again. What is the most difficult skill to learn on the technical side if you're a junior trader? Is it the optimization? Is it the reporting? Is it being across multiple platforms? What do you think is the detailed technical biggest issue right now? And I know the market changes every quarter.
I would say it's not so much a technical issue, it's more making the time to develop that technical issue. So a lot of traders still understand their roles as managing campaign, blah, blah, blah. But taking the time to optimize, like you said, it's just, that's how you get better, okay? So it's a technical skill that you can really improve if you just allocate consistent time to right. play around, right? And then reporting, always being able to pull insight, I would say, is one of the things I've received from hiring managers, because I work a lot with those hiring managers to hire the people that we train. And they all come back and say, you know, we need people that are able to do data analysis. When you look at this Excel sheet or this dashboard, what can you tell me? What is it? You know, what's the magic? And so pulling that insight, I think, can be challenging at first, but it's a learned skill. Anybody can look at data and understand what's good and what's not good, but you don't stop just there. You have to take it to the next level. And that's the skills that's missing a little bit.
Thanks, Ellen. What about you, Elise? What challenges do you have or... Mm-hmm. Senior management like audience have in training staff, because you're in a number of, well, is it three continents? Is that correct?
Right. We have data activated in 12 countries.
12 countries.
So, yes. Coming back to your question, indeed, there is a challenge, especially with the unique positioning of a like audience, whereby our businesses are kind of worldwide, while the majority of our headcounts are actually based in Asia due to COVID, of course, part of the reasons. And on training staff, there are two folds. And I see step number one is being very crucial. That is to identify the right candidates with cultural fit to the relevant position. And one of our values within a like audience is impact. From co-founders to team, I reckon the talents within a like audience have a DNA in common that is competitive but patient. And you can sense from nearly each of us having a hunger to win, but we don't appear to be self-asserting at all times. The candidates who join a like audience love to take challenges, I mean, most of them. And they challenge themselves for bettering in their career. And they often also challenge the status quo of a like audience. So first thing first is to hire the right people. And second is the onboarding process. And I resonate with Ellen so much that it can easily take up to 6 months to onboard one person to be equipped to understand the ad tech landscape. Because the ad tech universe is gigantic. Yes. And if you open the Lumascape every year, you will easily see hundreds of players in our field. And you see new names, you see old names fading, and each provides one or more than one unique values. And sometimes they just overlap, and sometimes they are complementing in the ecosystem. And as an Asian whose, you know, education system is filled by stuffing information since childhood, we understand so well that stuffing information to colleagues nowadays can rarely be inspirational nor influential. And therefore, we split up the onboarding process into 3 to 6 months as well. And in general, in month one of the onboarding, we give an overview of the industry to our colleague from a 10,000 foot view. And from their first onboarding day, anyone can join our all hands optional weekly stand-up meeting and listen to what's hot in the market from the stand-up section. And that is to help them ramp up their understanding of the industry faster. And on also day-in, day-out basis, we have a Slack channel named Web Article where everyone can share all sorts of upbeat news within AdTech. So we're talking about from, you know, the latest investment of AdTech to topics like ChatGPT, of course. And oh, we also have a knowledge management system where we aggregate videos and new joiners can crunch any historical knowledge that they need from the knowledge management system. And we have also our current team to refresh their memory from the KM system if needed.
Elise, that is all fascinating. I have questions, but Ellen, did you want to comment on what Elise said?
I think it's great what they're doing. It's encouraging one knowledge sharing internally and normalizing something as simple as just reading an article. I think a lot of us in the industry don't make the time to continue our own training. We expect the company to do it. But as individual, as programmatic ninja, I think it's really important that you do that due diligence and read the article, one article a day, one article a week, whatever, and then share it. Share with somebody at work, share it on LinkedIn, share it with somebody, because in order to learn, you got to teach it. So if you read this article and you don't remember, you cannot teach one thing from the article, read it again and teach it and try teaching it. I really value this one skill that is explaining any concept that is programmatic or ad tech or martech for that reason to a five-year-old. I challenge everyone listening, if you're unable to tell a five-year-old, and five-year-olds are very smart nowadays, okay? But if you're unable to explain to a five-year-old what is happening, okay, the best of their ability, then I think you don't understand enough. And that's okay. But that's a challenge you should think about, like, oh, I just read something. I just learned something. How would I explain it to my five-year-old niece or nephew, okay? So I really commend Elise and her team for encouraging something as simple but so powerful as article sharing. Like, this is what I'm learning, guys. This is very interesting. Because the more we grow, the more we develop those soft skills that I mentioned earlier.
Thanks, Ellen. Thanks, Elise. I want to go back to something you both said, because I always think about a lot, to be honest. You hire someone in the first 6 months, they're in training mode. But how do you identify if that person's got the skills to go the journey? Or not necessarily the computer software skills, but the kind of what you said, Elise, about being competitive and but patient. How do you identify that person? You can go first, Elise.
Well, we do have a very stringent hiring process starting from recruiter to our internal hiring process to make sure that candidates equips with some sort of hard skills from the industry, or they do have some personal traits from the personality tests that is falling into part of our standard operating procedure for hiring to make sure that candidate might have some personal traits that is in common to our culture already. Yeah, and of course, there could be mistakes, but chances are higher that we are also very patient on hiring. We only hire slow, but we hope to hire right. So, of course, there will be chances to fail, but this is what our patience comes from. And after onboarding, then we would have a procedure within HR as well to have a monthly reflection and feedback to with the colleague together, whether they are to the beats or whether they need a longer process of hand-holding. And from our experience for junior, they might need up to 3 months or four to handhold. And we do have a mentor for them. And for middle-level positions to key members, then usually we would have a project for them starting month 3 or 4 to handle on themselves by themselves. So we give liberty and autonomy to our colleagues as well to see how far they go. And if there is not a major failure, then we let them fail as well. We learn most from failure. Mm-hmm. That is how we implement our hiring strategy. And so far for our company size, it works pretty well.
Thank you. Thank you, Elise. Like Ellen, it sounds like finding that great talent early on is really about the person's intention to learn, eagerness to learn. What do you think?
I think it's right on. I think this is it. We can go ahead and end the interview right there. I think I like what Elise said about we take our time hiring because we want to make sure we hire for the right culture fit. I'd like to maybe rephrase that it's also about adding to the culture. The individual should not only fit the status quo, but also add into it and help grow the culture. I think that's how we truly encourage diversity, equity, and inclusion and representation by not limiting, but adding and adjusting. So I love that Elise is doing that with her team, but also like something as simple as a personality test can take you so far. It's so important to understand the person, because this person that you're hiring, you're not only hiring them for the job that they're doing now. You're hiring them for longevity, for growth. Like, you want the person to stay with you. You can't control it, but you can encourage it. So you can start at a position and then help them grow to another position. And that's how you keep your talent. That's how you retain your talent. You continue growing them. So let's just rephrase something we just said earlier, is that training takes 6 months. Training does not have an expiration date. Onboarding may take up to 6 months to a year. Okay, it's okay if it takes a little longer, but training is continuous. Now, training needs to evolve as much as this employee. And the more you empower and encourage training, especially internally at different level, the longer they stay. It's like given. We know that, and I'll end with this, we know that statistically, the number one reason why employee excellent talent leaves is poor leadership, okay, toxic environment. Number two is because they don't see a growth. Like, I'm just doing this for a minute now. I'm tired. I'm trying to find something else. They're not motivated. They're not excited to come to work or log into work every day. So number one can definitely be addressed. But number two, you start from day one and you continue that path, like Elise said. And I encourage everybody, again, don't stop at 6 months.
Interesting. Thanks, Ellen. The three of us have been in programmatic, ad tech, digital for a decade. But what about the day one people, the people that want to enter the industry? Mm-hmm. If someone wants to build a career in programmatic advertising, digital, where do they start? How do they get in these days, Ellen? What would you advise him or her to do?
Well, That's the people we train, right? The people that sign up to our program are self-starters. They're motivated and they invest their own money into the program. The program is not free. And so that tells me that they're great candidate for any company because they're self-motivating and they're self-starters because they did that out of their own quiet time. You could have gone to yoga, cook for your family, but you're on a class at night with me learning about this thing called programmatic, okay? So that says a lot about somebody that wants to start. There are transferable skill set. Everybody that has worked in some shape or form in this industry or others have a transferable skill that is going to be very, very valuable in, you know, as a trader, as an account manager, as anything. So I would look at the transferable skill set. If you want to get started, you don't know where to get started, I think you're in the right place by listening to this podcast, but I would leverage and maximize something like LinkedIn. You know, look up who's hiring for programmatic, connect with those companies. We have a framework that we call FEEL, which is find and follow the company and the hiring manager, engage with them. Okay. So make sure you reach out and say, hey, I'm looking to start in the industry. Don't know where to start. Can you tell me your number one advice or whatever? Engage with them and then explore opportunities. So what I mean by that is that go to LinkedIn jobs, right? Type programmatic keyword, put your filtering, put entry level, whatever, whatnot, and look at the recommendations or the requirements that some of the companies are looking for. Follow those companies, leverage LinkedIn, leverage the knowledge that you can acquire from other people and stay consistent in your learning. So don't start one day and then don't come back 6 months from now, but stay consistent once a week and do your thing. You know, it's tough to get into the industry.
Yeah. Elise, your thoughts at all?
Totally resonate with what Ellen mentioned. I understand, of course, the latest laid off news from tech giants have caused massive outflow of talents, but while there are also startups with aggressive growth who are looking for talents. And just an article that I read from CNBC described that nearly 80% of the laid off tech workers found their new roles within the 3 months of beginning their job search, according to the latest search from ZipRecruiter. So, which also means that talents are there, jobs are there. You just need the right skills to be equipped when you're starting your new job again. Mm-hmm. And as a startup, we run our team with agility, and we all know that the change is the universal constant. And therefore, rather than having a hard skill to be equipped, the mentality of staying hungry and staying foolish is very important. And if I told you a fundamental skill is to take, you know, all the certifications from FANG to TTD, there might be an obsolete period anytime as our technology advances. So staying hungry to learn is very important. Coming back to what just Ellen mentioned, to support our colleagues to be able to get handy to equip their new skills, we also have a learning budget allocated to every colleague to learn whichever is relevant to their career on a monthly basis. And from operational level, of course, taking certificates from the official channels like TTD or Google would be helpful. But from other alternative channels, I just come across a great one, such as Data Clean Room and Identity Fundamentals from the U of Digital, and, you know, free courses like Data-Driven Planning from the Edge Academy of TTD, or the courses provided by Ellen, you know, would be really helpful as well. Of course, if you're on a management level or on a middle management, it would be wise to also stay alert with the privacy law updates and news from the industry bodies such as IAB and NAI in the US, so that we could, you know, always keep ourselves up on the trend.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for your time, Elise and Ellen. Ellen, we wish you all the best for the rest of the year with Ellen Parker Consulting. We'll be watching you. I know you post a lot of content, right?
Actually, we try. We believe in sharing knowledge. So we try to stay as active as possible for anyone that is just trying to learn and don't know where to start, you know? So.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your time. And to our audience, thanks so much for listening. To find the show notes, the transcript, and more information about Alike Audience segment offerings, log on to the website, alikeaudience.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit subscribe and leave us a review. We'll catch you in the next session. Goodbye.